In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
The intern evermore.
And this is episode number 182.
Woo, woo, woo. I have one quick question. Bob, why are you wearing your Wonder Woman underoos? Did you really like the film?
Love the film. Actually, I'm probably going to go see it again.
I didn't know they came in large men.
You would know.
What, you borrowed mine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kevin, man, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Da-na-na-na-na-na.
Did you know Linda Carter was the producer? I stayed till the end waiting for the stupid extra scene. But
there is no extra scene on DC. You should know that.
They I should know that.
Have one on Suicide Squad.
There you go.
Yes.
But that was the only one.
Yeah, well, I was waiting. I was hoping.
You were hoping?
I was hoping.
I did not know Linda Carter was...
she is.
Well, good for her. She should produce it.
I know. She was at the premiere, too. They loved her. They loved her very much.
Oh, isn't that sweet. Aww. So, Kevin, how did you enjoy your Wonder... You saw it before. First out of the gate was you.
I saw it on the Thursday night that it opened.
Oh.
I was coming home, and I was bored, and I thought, I'll go see Wonder Woman. I don't have a great track history with DC movies, especially lately, because I found that generally they suck. Man of Steel was a disappointment. They missed the point of Superman. Batman versus Superman was a disappointment because, again, they didn't get Superman right, and then it just was an endless scrap for no real purpose with a lazy, stupid villain. But one of the good things that came out of that film was Wonder Woman joining in. This woman of mystery that comes in and saves Batman at the end and helps take down Doomsday. And it was announced shortly afterwards that she would be getting her own film. And then we got Suicide Squad, another disappointment. With a decent Harley Quinn performance.
Mm-hmm.
Going in... You know, what's to expect from a DC movie? It's probably going to be overly dark. It's probably going to miss the point of the character. It's going to have, a pointless CGI battle at the end with some kind of rendered character. And you know what? It doesn't disappoint on those things, but the only thing it does get right is that the character of Wonder Woman is right.
Mm.
And Gal Gadot is just a joy to watch on screen. She personifies that character to the extreme. And it's a pretty decent retelling of the Wonder Woman origin, minus certain elements, like the contest.
Yeah, that's missing.
But I liked it. I liked all the Paradise Island scenes. I liked Chris Pine. I didn't even mind the move to World War I as opposed to World War II.
I had no issues with that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it worked well.
Well, I thought Wonder Woman debuted in World War II, and it should stay there. But I think the feeling was that if they left it in World War II, it would be too much like Captain America, and I completely agree with that decision. This film was very much like Captain America in many levels, so to have it that way. And the other thing, too, is that I think if you were to make the Nazis... and World War II, the result of the manipulations of an external force, as opposed to being the ultimate evil, I think it diminishes that war. While you could say that the Huns were manipulated by, or the British or whoever, were manipulated by a foreign, like a supernatural entity, and it doesn't diminish the war and what was accomplished. So I think that was a smart decision.
One question.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about I read the comics, Wonder Woman comics, a while ago, so I'm not sure if he's still alive in the comics. Steve Trevor. I thought he was still alive in the comics.
Well, I mean, it depends on which version you're talking about, but the New 52 version of Steve Trevor is still alive and around.
Okay.
And he's the Steve Trevor. Since they got rid of New 52 and merged in some of the old elements, he's still around. It's still basically that same New 52 Steve Trevor. He's a government agent.
Right.
But it's 2017. He was born in... this version was born in, like, 1985 or something like that.
Okay. Okay, that was my only issue with it, so other than that, it was great.
But you know what? Someone was talking about how there's a great chemistry between Chris Pine and Gal Gadot on screen, I thought.
Yes.
And a few people were like, well, how will they do a sequel without Chris Pine? And I'm like, well, you know, did you ever watch the Wonder Woman TV show? And did you, Bob?
Yes.
So you would know then that after season one, which was set in World War II, season two was set in the 1970s.
That's true.
And, and featured a Steve Trevor who was the grandson of the Steve Trevor.
Oh, yes.
Was in World War II.
Yeah. But in the movie, they admit that Chris Pine's Steve Trevor never had a family.
Well, he had family, but he never had children.
Right. That's what I mean.
So a Chris Pine-looking character could show up and turn out to be a great-great-grandnephew.
Hold on. Steve Trevor could have sex between this movie and the next movie.
No, he can't.
What if he's dead?
Oh, that's right. He did die at the end of this movie.
He could have fucked Sarah.
It's a little hard to have sex when you're dead.
No, maybe he did edit candy just before he left.
Oh.
What are you making a judgment call on Etta Candy?
I'm not making any judgment call. Bob did.
No, I didn't.
No.
That wasn't me. I thought Etta Candy did a great job.
Yes, she did.
Etta Candy was a joy in every scene that she was in.
I remember Etta Candy from the TV series, too. I bought my mom that, the whole thing for Christmas for her 1 year.
Did they call her Etta Candy, though?
Yes, they did.
They did.
No, I mean in the TV show.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember.
I think so.
I don't remember.
There wasn't any candy.
Different.
There was an Etta Candy character in the comics, too. I remember that.
But well, yes, Etta Candy is a comics character.
Yeah. But I don't think she was... I think she was the Earth 2... Or did they have an Earth 1 Etta Candy?
There was a... So when George Perez relaunched Wonder Woman in 1986...
Yeah.
Steve Trevor was older. So he was like a 1960s era pilot in the 1980s.
Okay.
Who crashes. So he's an older man. So he's not a love interest for Diana in that series.
Right.
However, he does have an aide named Etta Candy, and he does end up marrying Etta Candy in that series.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah. But the original Etta Candy in the comics, the Moulton Marston H.G. Peter ones, she was the comedy relief.
Mm.
Yeah, she was.
She was like every other Golden Age comic, had a chubby sidekick that got into
trouble. Interesting
scenarios.
Okay, back to Wonder Woman. Phenomenal. Yep. Absolutely hit all my buttons.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the origin story. I like how they worked it in that way and just sort of told their stories as they went.
Mm-hmm.
Like how she was made out of clay and this and that. I love how they brought Steve Trevor into the world on Paradise Island. I love the German scene, the German fight scene with the Amazons just taking them out.
I had a lot of complaints of people wondering what happened to the German ship. You can see through the clouds of the mist surrounding Paradise Island.
Oh. Yes.
What do you think happened to that ship?
They killed it.
Who killed it?
The Amazons. Or maybe they hit a rock or Poseidon. Who knows? It wasn't really explained.
They hit a rock. the Paradise Island is surrounded by rocks, so large vessels would sink attempting to...
Well, wasn't that the whole point of Paradise Island? Like, I always remember being covered in rocks.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much could have the other side of Paradise Island be where King Kong lives.
Yes. Well, doesn't it?
He could potentially live there. Same thing, yeah.
I mean, the Amazons wouldn't bug him.
No.
And nobody would ever find him. I mean, I just liked the whole thing of Paradise. I thought it was perfect.
No, I thought it was great. And I like Robin Wright Penn as the sister.
Yes.
She was the ultimate. and I have quite a few friends of mine, female friends of mine, said that they were just the sight of the Amazons just doing their martial arts on the beach was quite an emotional scene for them. For whatever reason, just the sight of, you know, these powerful women.
Well, I guess because we never see that in film. We really don't see powerful women in film. We see women heroes, but not powerful like this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say you're probably right. And that's why I think this is an important film on a lot of levels. And I'm glad it was directed by Patty Jenkins, by a woman.
I agree, because I think she has that. I think it's perfect. Like, I do want to see a powerful woman kicking ass. And she definitely kicks everyone's ass.
I thought the movie was overall dark in tone, like a lot of the other DC movies.
But it worked.
But I like that Diana, you know, in the end when she says she's discovered the power to bring down gods, and that's love.
Yes.
But Diana experiences not, like, she basically inspires love in the people around. And when you see her with the, I'll call them the Howling Commandos, even though that's the wrong company.
Yeah.
But they're inspired by her, and their own love for things is rekindled. You know, they love her as a comrade, but, you know, one remembers the joy of being on stage, and the other remembers the joy of singing and camaraderie and, you know, fighting for a cause. And, you know, they're all inspired to continue on, even though they're mercenaries.
Yes.
And you know, Trevor is inspired. A lot of people pointed out that Steve Trevor is he's great because he's a true partner. He's not in a sense, a mansplainer, a guy that's there to, you know, be the man in every situation. He's fully aware of Diana's power and has no issues with her taking over when she needs to. And vice versa, which was an interesting thing to see on film.
I just thought it was strange. I really thought it was funny when he has to call her secretary and stuff like that. It's like, oh, this is Wonder Woman. Like, I just want her to be Wonder Woman. I mean, I understand why they had to have those scenes. I understand why they said that. But I did enjoy how they would pair that off with an Anna Cannon scene with the sword and the shield. Give me those.
Yeah,
I like the Wonder Woman having to get dressed outfit. I thought that was funny.
It was. I thought it was strange that, you know, there's an urgency to get information to the high command.
No, they were in no hurry.
But yet, it's okay, we better go shopping first.
Yes.
That seemed odd to me. I would think, let's go report and then we'll go shopping. But no, we have to conceal first. And then, but I mean, that's not, things would move differently in that era, so I guess it's not that strange. And then, you know, there were a couple of things that I thought were kind of odd with, there were elements that I thought were adult, that this is a movie that obviously is going to be of interest to young girls and women.
My daughter would not see it. I did ask her to. She didn't have any interest.
Yeah. My friend took his daughters and they loved it. And I guess some of the stuff that's over people's head, but like, the Chris Pine in naked bathing scene and, you know, standing proud and showing off or whatever. I thought that was kind of like, I guess it served a purpose, but it also was like, was this necessary for a scene in a movie that many children will want to see?
Well, probably not, but it worked. I mean, I didn't really have a...
And then the next thing, you know, I mean, he's standing naked in front of her in one scene, and then like 2 minutes later in a boat, he's bashful about lying on the front of the boat with her.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of strange.
Yeah.
I did like when she had to go through no man's land. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah.
That was a powerful scene.
I was like,
oh my God.
I was like, okay, I didn't see that coming.
Although someone pointed out to me that the same scene happens in War Horse.
It does. But the war horse seems a little bit different. It's a horse that's caught.
Yeah.
And they try to get the horse out. And it's more for comedy than action in War Horse.
Yeah. But the Diana scene when she goes forward with the shield and takes the full-on power of the machine gun fire and all that, and then the Chris Pine and his buddies flank them and take out the Germans. I thought that was a powerful scene. That was like they haven't moved anywhere in years, and she just basically climbs up and takes over, and 5 minutes later they've defeated the German army.
That was great. We haven't really talked. What did you think of the casting? Everything worked for me. I had no issues with anybody.
Yeah, I have no issues with the casting, except perhaps the villain.
So I wanted to talk about the villain a little bit. Which villain do you want to talk about, the main one or the sub one?
Well, the sub ones I didn't, you know, the German Dusseldorf or whatever didn't strike me as being that original.
No, I agree. I thought it was very cookie cutter, the main one. But I liked Dr. Poison a lot. I thought Dr. Poison worked perfectly.
Yes. Dr. Poison was a good villain choice, although a kind of an obscure one.
Is she in the comics? I had no idea, because I don't remember her.
Yep, she is.
Okay.
And she's a World War II era villain.
I don't think I have them then, because I don't have that many Wonder Women from that period.
Yeah, but, you know, more like a Roy Thomas era All-Star Squadron thing.
Oh, but I didn't read them for sure.
And then the big reveal, of course, is Ares. So we then find out it's a plot somewhat similar to the George Perez Wonder Woman comics of the 80s, where it's Ares who's been manipulating men and armies to do things. But did you like the big reveal of who it was in the end? Where, you know, the big setup is to take out the Germans, when in fact it was their own side.
Yeah, but I can't believe they found somebody that had Etta Candy down perfectly.
Yeah.
And they found Chris Pine, who I just love and everything, and he's perfect for these kind of roles. He works well in Kirk, and, I mean, Their Finest, or whatever that movie was called with the boat, similar character, works fine.
Finest Hour, yeah.
Finest Hour, and he just does that. And Gal Gadot, to me, was just perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to the next one. I like a little bit more action, I think, at times. Maybe a little bit more Wonder Woman. But I love the use of the magic lasso every time.
I thought it was interesting that they took Michael Turner's idea of the glowing lasso.
Well, it works. It shows up on screen beautifully.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's a great image. And then there were some comics people who were quite upset with who they thanked, because they left out a lot of people whose work was represented on screen. And the thank yous there, it was very limited.
Oh, sorry. Like, whatever.
And the origin story was lifted from Azzarello's run, recent run, as opposed to the classic origin.
Yeah, I noticed it wasn't the origin I knew.
So we heard the origin. She believed the origin that we knew. But the big reveal, of course, was that she wasn't molded from clay, right?
No, so she wasn't.
Blow the surprise. That was interesting. And then, the setup, of course, is that she goes off to do Justice League.
Yeah.
And then when they do Wonder Woman 2, I guess they'll set it up for now, set up in the present.
Which is fine with me.
Yeah.
I don't have any.
Bob, did you like this movie?
I loved it. I'm actually going to go back and see it again. Actually, when I saw it in the theater, the audience that I saw it with, it was Ultra AVX 3D, but it didn't need to be.
Did you sit in the chair?
Yeah.
And?
Nothing. Well, no, wait, because you get to pick your own seat, right?
Right, but isn't that the one that punches and things in the back of the chair?
I guess
I
section I was in didn't have that. Oh. But the audience I sat with, they were going, wow, and laughing. And there were scenes where they were laughing, and I thought it was like, it was funny. But I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, I'm going to see it again. But not in 3D this time. I'm just going to see it in regular.
Okay, go ahead, Kev.
I saw it in AVX 3D. D-Box, which is...
That's what I wanted, the D-Box. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. But it was unnecessary.
Yeah, it really was.
And the next time I see it, it'll be at home, so I won't be seeing it in 3D again. So, The only movie I'd be tempted to revisit is Guardians at this point.
Wow.
Because I love the 3D in that movie. I thought that was really well done.
I've seen that twice already, too.
Yeah. So I think we probably all picked high on this as being a summer blockbuster.
Well, this was number one, wasn't it,
Kevin? Actually, I went into Simon's Twitter, and he gave it an 8, and I commented, and I thought, that's really high for you. So you must have loved it.
Me and Kevin both have Wonder Woman at number 3.
Yeah.
Bob has Wonder Woman at number 1.
Ooh.
But I like Bob's number 2 pick's my favorite.
What?
Which was this number 2 pick?
The Mummy.
Uh-oh.
Did you watch?
No, which I have not seen yet, but we'll do in the next show for sure. So, that's funny.
It's going to be not good.
What's the number 2 pick?
Bob's or yours?
Bob's.
Mummy.
And what's your number 2 pick?
Spider-Man.
What was my number 2 pick?
Spider-Man.
And what's our number 1 pick?
Cars 3, and I have Despicable Me 3.
Yeah. And I still think Cars and Despicable Me have potential to overtake Wonder Woman.
So do I, but I didn't wear the Planet of the Apes to go insane.
Uh-huh.
That was... I have the Mummy ranked at number 9.
Oh, yeah.
You have the Mummy.
What do I have the Mummy at?
9, too.
Yeah, I made a mistake.
Well, I know who's not winning.
So you have Dunkirk at number 5, though.
I think Dunkirk will do amazing.
I have Dunkirk as Dark Horse.
Yeah, I did see The Mummy. We'll review it in a future episode.
Because we're going to do all 4 of them at once in Scorpion King, so we have 5 movies for that one.
Sure, that's cool.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
Did you go to Wonder Woman in style, Kevin? Did you go in style?
Did I go in style?
Yes.
I have no idea what you mean.
Oh, it's a movie that Bob made me watch. It's a remake of the 1979 movie with George Burns, Art Carney, and Lee Strasberg.
It's called In Style?
Going in style.
Ah, okay.
Called some old guys that need some cash, and they got to do a bank robbery.
Morgan Freeman, Alan Arkin, and...
Oh, that one. Okay.
What was the third one?
What's his face? Alan Arkin.
No, I said Alan Arkin.
Alan Arkin, Michael Caine.
That's it, Michael Caine. I missed Michael Caine. And Morgan Freeman.
Kevin?
Another one of these old guys movies.
Oh. It's just dull. And
yeah.
It's very different than the original. Like, the original's really dull. This one's like a step above dull.
Oh, nice.
And, like, they explain everything. But, again, and they change things. I can tell you the difference between the two.
I haven't seen the first one. So
I'll cover your ears.
No.
So, in the first one, it's basically the similar at the beginning. The plot is exactly the same. They both involves a bank robbery. But in number 1, everybody dies.
Oh.
Like, right after the bank robbery, one of the guy dies. Okay?
Nice.
So then they go to Vegas. Don't explain to me. They have all this money. They've never been on vacation. So they decide to go to Vegas. Uh-huh. And they win all this money at the craps table. They get back. Then the next guy dies.
Oh.
And then they figure out it's George Burns, and he goes to jail at the end of the movie.
Okay.
That's the whole one. Well, the new one, of course, because we have new actors, it's got to be more positive.
Uh-huh.
So they have to introduce a love life for one of them. So they introduce Anne Margaret into the cast.
Yep.
They still rob a bank.
Mm-hmm.
It's still uninteresting, and they have to explain it all to me.
No, it wasn't interesting. I found it interesting.
How is this film interesting, other than Kevin will watch it on Netflix in a year?
Yeah, I'm not rushing out to see that one.
Parts of it that were really good. I enjoyed it.
What part? When they're trying to pull off the bank robbery at the shop?
No, when they're trying to stuff meat into their clothes.
How was that funny?
I just found it funny.
And they try to get away in the shopping cart? Was that funny? Like, you must know comedy, because I obviously missed that whole gag.
All right. What's next on our list?
No, we're not done.
Oh, yeah, we are. You move on. Because you obviously hated it.
Calvin. It's just nothing happens.
No.
The girl who's called to see if she recognizes.
That's
the three,
only good scene.
And
in
she
the
doesn't
whole
recognize him because she. Well, she does, but she goes. No, I don't see him here. And the granddaughter of one of the characters, I think it was Morgan Freeman's granddaughter.
Yes.
She's standing there when the girl comes out, and she smiles at her, and she smiles back and goes, she knows. And then the money that they got from the bank, nobody catches them. The money from the bank robbery is given to different people. Like, there's an old age home that they give the money to. There's different things that they give the money to.
Right. Like, they can't trace that and catch them.
Apparently they can't. Cause
like, they even leave the waitress at one point, like, a wink. Because they were there before they had money and couldn't afford pie. Like, there's a big scene how they can't afford a piece of pie. And then they get there, and then they leave her a tip. I'm like, this is horrible. Like, this is so dumb.
Well, that's what was funny. It was, like, meant to be dumb, I guess.
Oh, it was dumb. It totally hit his point.
Right.
Okay, moving along. That was awful.
Are you bossing me around?
I'm bossing you around, Kevin.
Baby.
Sort of like a boss baby?
Like a boss baby.
Boss baby.
Go ahead, Bob, since you've seen this recently.
I saw it recently and I was disappointed because I unlike you, I watched previews on TV, I watched previews anyway. I thought this was going to be something like more than it was, and then by the time I got out of it, it was okay, but I just felt it was missing something, like I needed wanted more from it. I got the fact that he's like not an actual baby, but and then the formula he takes is makes something like.
Why don't you play the okay, Kevin?
Yes,
it's about a family that works for a puppy dog company.
Uh-huh.
Like, and they create puppies and things, so
okay.
They decide to have a new baby. Well, what comes down is not a real baby, but a boss baby. So it's Alex Baldwin as a fake baby. So he hasn't taken, they give him a formula so he doesn't become a baby, so he stays smart and old. Does that make sense?
Okay.
And then he's trying to stop the puppy guy from taking puppies because people stop having babies because the puppies will live forever.
And they're cute puppies.
And they're cute puppies.
So they say.
Okay.
And that's the whole movie. So basically in the end, they have to stop the puppy guy in the end. That's basically the whole movie. And, of course, at the end of the movie, Alex Baldwin loves the family so much, he decides to become a real baby.
He decides to be a real baby.
Yes. He takes the formula and forgets all about his other thing and becomes a real baby. Because the baby never grows up. The baby stays a baby but is a man at the same time.
Right. But the things that were, okay, the middle of the movie where it's sort of funny is like.
When they have the play date?
Yeah. The play date, plus they're in the backyard, and the parents are seeing something different than they're seeing. Cause,
yes.
Oh, look, they're playing together. Meanwhile, and what they see is this, the baby in the toy car, and he's being dragged. It's going like slow. What they see, the baby, and Alec Baldwin's character, and Toby, whatever, which the kid. They're seeing like it going much faster, and I'm looking at the parents previewing this, and I'm going,
Kevin, this is somewhat watchable. I want to give you full credit.
Wow, I'm shocked.
And you can hear Alec Baldwin goes to the guy. The guy wants a cookie. Goes, cookies are for closers. I'm like, oh my god, really?
Right.
We're doing Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross in the middle of Baby Boss.
I never
saw
Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross.
Fine. So, I mean, it's perfect for kids. Absolutely phenomenal for kids. My kids loved it.
Okay.
They kept four kids occupied for 2 hours. And, I mean, zip, not a word out of them.
Yeah.
And they all sat down and watched it, which is good. But, I mean, for adults, you're kind of like, it's not horrible.
I was in the middle of the game.
That's not going to hold your attention.
Yeah, well.
Like, you will be pulling out your phone at home numerous times, going, what's going on Facebook?
Or you might not.
Oh, I think you will. Like, Bob, you saw this in the theater recently.
Yes.
How bored were you about the middle point?
I wasn't actually bored. I just wanted more from it, because I from the ads, and I thought it would be like.
So the only good person in it is the goon. The goon for the puppy dog guy.
Because he was the original baby boss. There was a him, and he, but he, like, he at the end, he turns into back into a baby.
Yeah, so they're going to put him out. But I like his goon. The henchman is quite good.
The henchman is good.
And they have a good chase scene near the end when they chase the baby around.
Yes. And then he says, this time we'll raise him right.
Yeah, this time we'll raise him right. It's the end of the film. So there you go. You skip that one. You don't have to watch it now.
Great.
So, you want to get this? Okay, Bob, are you a vixen at home?
No.
Bob, Kevin, I don't know. I don't know how I stumbled on this. It must have came on DVD recently.
Are you the only one that watched this one?
No,
I watched it. As soon as I got it, I'm going, hey, vixen. Because I heard about it, and I saw it in Walmart on sale.
So it must have just came out on DVD.
Yeah, but it's from 2015.
Okay, but doesn't mean they couldn't put it on TV and then put it on DVD.
Right. But it's apparently a series.
It was supposed to be the pilot for an animated show.
Okay.
Which clearly
it has the actors, the voices from the actors from like The Flash, Arrow, all the Arrowverse, Legends of Tomorrow. It has all them, like Emily Rickards.
Who sounds awful as a voice actress.
Robbie Amell.
Robbie Amell,
Brandon Ruth, Grant Gustin, Stephen Amell, Victor Garber.
It definitely had that TV show feel. Yes. And I thought it was just a bunch of episodes put together.
It's one.
But it's one big log episode. So it gives you the origin story, but it's.
Which I liked.
And this is the current vixen as opposed to the vixen that showed up in Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Oh, see, I have no idea about Legends of Tomorrow Vixen.
Legends of Tomorrow Golden Vixen Age is Vixen. The grandmother of the Vixen now.
Oh, okay.
Because the totem is passed through generation to generation.
Yes, they explain that to us. And she doesn't know who her mother is. And all she knows is this totem.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's just weird hearing Stephen Amell in a cartoon and hearing all the characters. And it just seemed very basic, the cartoon. Like, I didn't think it had any interest in it. Did you? Did you enjoy it at all?
Yes, I did. I loved
it. Like, would you watch a series of this?
Yes, actually, I would.
Okay, so Bob got more out of it than I did. I just thought the voice acting was dull. The animation looked like...
You hate everything.
That's very kind of you. Can I finish speaking?
Of course you can.
Thank you. Right. It looked like very Saturday morning to me. No depth. Like, did DC animated direct-to-video have some depth? And I finally just put this on here to make some cash at the checkout.
I decided
the Scooby-Doo meets, I don't know, Kevin Boyd's Burger Palace, like whatever this is. Exactly. So,
Reggie!
Okay, well, moving on. Street cat named Bob. Is this you, Bob?
All right.
I don't think I ever met
Street cat named Bob. Based on the best-selling book.
And it stars a cat named Bob.
It's directed by nobody. It stars...
It stars nobody.
The director.
You can say nobody.
It stars Bob the Cat, Luke Treadaway, Ruth Gedimentas.
Nobody.
Gedimentas.
That's not nice. There's people. They're people.
Anthony Head.
Oh, yeah, I lie. Anthony Head's it. There's one person you've heard of.
Darren Evans, Adam Riches, Beth Goddard, Jessica Woodland. Akbar Kuthar and John Henshaw. His mentor or the woman at the clinic. She's from Downton Abbey.
There you go.
Oh, okay. I had no idea.
And then Anthony Head, of course, is his father.
Woman at the clinic seems she could actually act.
What's that?
The woman at the clinic seems she could actually act.
And then the lead actor himself, he was on Penny Dreadful.
Oh.
He played Victor Frankenstein.
Okay. Wow, look at that. I didn't think he could act. He looked painful.
So he plays a young man who's a meth addict and who's been on the street. And he decides to try to come clean and be a better person.
He does.
And he ends up getting assigned an apartment in some kind of social welfare program. While he's there, he meets and saves a cat named Bob.
Meow.
He saves the cat and tries to find its owner first.
Yeah.
And then names it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And as he starts nursing the cat, he starts to go out and perform. He's a street musician.
He
and
is.
The cat starts to be part of the act. He brings him with him. And he becomes quite popular.
He starts actually making some money doing street performing, and people are actually
nice
to him.
Well, and he gets better, too.
He does get better, but I think he gets more confidence.
He saves the cat, but the cat kind of saves him.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that.
And, I don't know, did you like it?
I don't know. I thought it was okay. I didn't hate it, and I didn't love it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I wish the production values were very low on it. I thought it came off like an indie more than anything else.
Well, I thought, yeah, I mean, it wasn't, there's not much, I mean, I didn't have a problem with the production values. I thought it was a very personal story, and it involved people, so there's no need for special effects and whatnot.
No, that wasn't that. I just thought it was very... I watched in HD. Maybe that was my problem.
Yeah.
Because it looked like it was filmed in front of me. And I mean, it was fine. I thought it was an interesting story. But I was kind of like, what's the final end to this story? Is it either the guy dies or he gets his life back?
It's one of those movies that we've seen a million times where someone is at a low point in their lives and something brings them back. Right, and this guy, it's based on a real story.
Yeah, I learned that at the end.
So when he does the book signing in the film, the first guy that comes to get the book signed is the guy that wrote the book.
Yes, I saw that, because I saw the picture of him at the end.
So, I thought it was an inspiring story.
Well, I like how the guy tried. Like, he really did try. I thought he got a little shortchanged by that other guy. With the papers?
Yeah.
I think he got screwed over by the paper deal.
Oh, big time.
Because he was saying, no, you got to buy from that guy.
Yeah.
And the other guy's like, well, he stole the paper by thinking. He's like, I didn't. I was trying to walk across the street. The woman's giving me money.
Right.
That he didn't want. And I think he made every effort. And I really felt at times people were against him, but he was trying.
Yeah.
Like, I felt bad for him at numerous times. I mean, how he lost his buskering job and this and that. I'm like, well, he didn't do anything, but the cops didn't seem to care.
Yeah.
I thought they're all pretty crappy to him at times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't find that?
I don't know. I mean, I thought he was in a shitty position coming out of a really shitty decisions he made. And I thought it was interesting to see that side of London. Because London really is a tourist town, and he's able to make a living and survive and rebuild himself around the edges. And the edges of London can be pretty rough.
But see, I've never been, so I wouldn't know.
So, but, I mean, the London I went to in 1982 is not the same London of 2017 or 2016 or whenever this is supposed to be set. But, you know, he goes out and he busks, and he's quite popular with families and kids, and the cat's quite amusing and is right in there as part of the act. And I thought it was an interesting story. It was about a story of a man and an animal that bring themselves back out of despair and manage to make a life for themselves. So as I sit here with my cat.
But does he come out of this without the cat? I say no.
No, I mean, he's almost destroyed when the cat is gone.
Yeah.
He's almost ready to go right back into the worst parts of himself again.
And I think he would.
But, you know, that's why the cat was so important to him. Right?
Yeah, I agree. I think he needed the cat. I like the... Okay, I got a question, though. At the end of the film, it talks about everything. Do you not agree?
Kind of, yeah.
What happened to the girl that went back to visit her parents? Because she's not mentioned.
Oh, I thought that, you mean the one who was in the apartment complex that he was kind of was dating?
Yes.
It sounded to me like they remained friends, but they were no longer romantic interests.
It doesn't say that in the film, though.
Well, she leaves. She says goodbye, and we'll stay in touch.
I know, but at the end of the film, I had that big wrap-up of everything in the life.
Right. Well, she was out of the picture.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was weird. So, no, I thought it was a solid film. I don't know if I'd recommend it to people. I think it's, if you're interested in it, watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, don't. Like, I think you should read the synopsis. I mean, you definitely know it's a feel-good story, but you don't know at the beginning.
I thought it was it's a film you could show your kids.
Yes.
Right? So maybe not your young kids, but your older kids, you could say, hey, look at how this guy, he's a mess. And by taking care of himself and taking care of an animal, he was able to transcend and become a better person. Like, the cat teaches him how to be better.
I guess so. I guess it's the cat. Maybe you're right. The cat does it.
Yeah, the cat really is the star. When the cat goes missing, things fall apart. But his father and his new father's new family, they're kind of crappy to him, too.
Well, they're horrible to him.
Yeah.
Until the end of the film.
When his father shows some backbone.
Finally.
But I like it. I chose to buy it. Because I wanted to see it. And then, of course, it's now on Netflix, so...
Oh, so you bought it before it was on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, obviously. Why would you buy it after Netflix?
But it was cheap. It was like $7 rather than renting it for $3.99. So... okay. What else do we have on the list?
Bob, About Last Night? Are we doing the new one or the old ones?
Because I don't have the old one. The old ones?
The 87 version?
88.
So what'd you think of this, Bob? I thought it was a mediocre White Crisis.
Directed by Edward Zwick?
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one. What did I think of it?
Yeah.
Well, I liked it when it first came out, then I went to rewatch it, in the last month or so, right? And it doesn't age well.
Like, I watched it.
No, it doesn't age well for me because, like, I watched it and I'm going, why did I like this?
I just thought it was okay.
Yeah.
It told its story. It's a relationship movie. You go with your girlfriend, go with your wife, go with a girl you might be interested in.
But I lost interest halfway through.
It's a dull film.
Well, now it is. But back in the 80s when I saw it, it was like, maybe that's because I saw it with someone at the time, but like now I'm just going,
I think it's a definite date movie.
It probably is.
Like there's something at for the girls and something for the guy, but nothing really happens of importance.
I either went to see it or we rented it.
They just like the yak. Something happens and it wraps up and it's over.
Yeah.
So nothing else? Like, this is your film, so.
I know, but I thought for me it didn't age well. So.
Okay.
I just found it dull, as you're in your words.
I thought it was dull too, right. But I didn't hate it.
I did.
Kevin?
I don't remember. I mean, it's been a long time if I've seen this.
Okay.
So I have no real opinion on it.
No problem. Okay. Do you have one of Mrs. Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Creatures?
Oh, do you want to do that or do you want to save it for the next one?
No,
since
we can do it now. We got time. We have 20 minutes.
All right. Well, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. I caught that yesterday or recently. Directed by Tim Burton, and it stars a bunch of kids. And
they have names.
And who's the actress? Eva Green is Miss Peregrine.
I love Eva Green.
Yeah. So, what a wacky movie. To try to summarize it, essentially, his grandfather is murdered. His grandfather is Terrence Stamp, who kneeled before Zod. And he is murdered by, Samuel L. Jackson.
He is. On the beach.
And, yeah, so it seems that his grandfather, during World War II, encountered a group of children at a school run by this headmistress, Miss Peregrin. And so he insists that the grandson should go and visit that school off the coast of Ireland or wherever it is and find them. And so the kid and his father go there, and while he's there, he discovers through a cave that the inhabitants of the school have been surviving inside a time loop.
Yeah.
Since 1942. So at a time when so the actual building has been bombed out and was destroyed. But every night, within the time loop, Miss Peregrin reverses things and restarts the loop, so their day keeps repeating.
Yeah.
And, but there are other peculiars can survive inside these time loops, and it's the best way to hide them from the people that are trying to kill them, which is part of an experiment for long life led by Samuel Jackson's character. And some of the people that are on the villain side turn into these long-legged, spindly monster
creatures.
Wow,
they look very strange.
Yeah. So the kids are kind of like the X-Men. They all have, like, superpowers of some kind.
Come on, eating at the back of your head, the twins? That's a superpower.
Yeah.
That was my daughter's favorite scene in the film.
Uh-huh. And it's, you know, visually it's an interesting film. It's like every other Tim Burton movie. Whatever reason, they end up reviving a ship and traveling within the loop to another location where they escape, and then they emerge into 2016.
Yeah.
And defeat the villains, and then they go back into the loop, because if they survive outside of the loop for long, then they age to their actual age.
That's correct, and they all die, so they have to go back.
And so they have this big fight, and I don't know, it was okay, I guess. It was not what I was expecting it to be, and I found it was overly complicated.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with what you're saying. It was okay. Like, I didn't hate it again. I watched it, enjoyed it, and moved on. Like, I didn't...
Yeah.
It did nothing memorable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just like all the Tim Burton films lately just seem to gel to me. They're just like, okay, there's Eva Green, there's Johnny Depp, let's get the film done. Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
Let's get the story done. But speaking of, I thought was a train wreck, Jason Bourne.
Oh, Jason Bourne.
What a piece of shit.
Who directed this one? Was it...
Greengrass.
Greengrass again. Oh, so, Jason Bourne emerges because someone has stolen the information on Treadstone and other projects, and it turns out his father was the originator for the idea for the Treadstone project.
Correct.
And, there's a belief by some in the government that he could be brought back and be a patriot again.
Yeah, how would that be possible? I never understood that.
I don't know either. That he was somehow still loyal to the U.S. and could somehow be convinced to come back and help them.
Do you know what I like in a Jason Bourne movie? Action.
Yeah.
Not people phoning each other. You better move. Somebody's coming. Okay, thanks. Let's move to the next location.
Yeah, there was a lot of running, not a lot of hitting.
I need that, though. I mean, this movie was horrible.
Well, it wasn't as bad as the previous one, but...
Actually, I liked the previous one better.
I didn't like the previous one. I was glad to have Jason Bourne back. But
so was I. I'm like, wow, who did this for the money? All of them?
All of them, yeah.
They all looked like they were sleepwalking through this. I'm like, really, Matt Damon?
Yeah.
And then I saw The Great Wall, so I figure he's just on this is it for Matt Damon. I've had enough.
Yeah, his career's on the downward trend.
I'm like, come on. I just think this was a horrible installment of this franchise. I mean, I could do with a reboot or a repeat, a new Jason Bourne. I'm fine with it. Let's just get it done.
I don't think Bourne has to be repeated or anything. I think you can just end it.
And I'm fine with that, too. We can have something new. Like,
yeah.
I don't really have any issues. I mean, I just think this film was just terrible on every level. I'm so disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have nothing positive to say. I mean, I thought the car scene at the end was brutally done.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks horrible at all times. I was just glad that when it was over, like, oh, it's awful. This came out last year, didn't it?
What's that?
This came out last year, didn't it?
The Bourne film came out last summer.
Yeah, I thought so. I was like, didn't it make it worse? Do you want to do the last film or do you want to do Gotham? We got 15 minutes.
What's the last film?
Warcraft.
No, let's skip it.
Okay. I'll put that on the list. Yeah, what did you think of Gotham this season? I'd rather discuss Gotham because I have more to say.
I enjoyed Gotham this year. I thought it got a lot better.
Absolutely amazing this year. Absolutely loved Gotham this year.
And I thought the season finale was very good.
Absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically become now, we've got most of Batman's rogues gallery in place.
And we have Batman in place now.
We have a young Batman, yeah.
And I thought it was working on all levels. I mean, I think they did some cleanup on some storylines they needed to clean up.
Yeah.
And I think they could start fresh for next season for the most part.
Well, they can go ahead 6 or 7 months, and he's older, and he's been doing more stuff on the street. I still think that he hasn't. I mean, Batman is. I don't know how many years it's been now. It's been 4 years for us since the show launched.
Are we in our fourth season?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this season's perfect. They finally got it.
Well, and I would say that they probably advanced through about 10 years of time.
Okay.
Over that. But, you know, I don't know if it actually has been, but the young actor that plays Bruce Wayne has aged quite a bit.
I can see that, yeah. Well, that's
and
what happens.
Taking these long, prolonged breaks in between episodes has allowed him to age a little bit.
Yes.
I like him. I like Alfred. I like Commissioner Gordon. I like everybody on it.
I love Ivy. I wish Ivy had more to do.
I like the actors that play the Riddler and the Penguin.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
And now we have characters like Mr. Freeze and Firefly in place.
I love the Freeze character. He is absolutely perfect, too. The casting is fantastic. The set design, the art design, it all works for me.
We've been introduced now to Ra's al Ghul.
And somebody else.
Who's the somebody else?
Well, Mitch's real... What's Butch's real name.
Oh, right, that Butch is, in fact, Solomon Grundy.
Correct.
And we've, you know, it's time for the Joker to come back again.
Hold up, back up. Until Kevin said that, you did not know that.
I did know that.
No, you didn't, because when I came over...
We talked about it earlier,
you didn't know it until I said it.
I said that Butch name I should know, and Bob said, oh, it's Solomon Grundy. I said I knew it was somebody. Because I couldn't remember his name. I knew the name from somewhere.
Hmm.
Okay, doesn't matter.
I never got to see the last hour.
It's not your fault.
Well,
is Barbara Keene dead,
DVD,
do you think?
PVR.
Is what?
Barbara Keene dead?
I think potentially, yes. I think that she's gone.
And they took out Mooney's dead, so that was a good thing. Finished that nonsense off.
Yeah.
And is the Court of Owls dead, do you think?
Pretty much, yeah.
So what do you think the next storyline is, Ra's?
Ra's is in the background, but the actor that plays Jim Gordon has said that their first major baddie for next year is probably going to be Scarecrow.
Oh, interesting. Oh. Okay.
So we'll get the introduction of Jonathan Crane.
Well, I like how they started the Penguins opening his own nightclub, just like the comics. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, so they have to start moving towards that traditional role that each of them plays. So the fact that the Riddler is on ice as the centerpiece of the Iceberg Lounge is interesting.
Yeah. He's not like that in the comics. I don't remember him being the centerpiece in the comics.
What?
No.
Okay, if I remember correctly. It's been a while since I've read those.
And, you know, there are other characters who we've not met who are starting to... You know, Jerome...
Yeah.
Jerome, the Joker, has to come back again at some point.
Oh, I like how they set up Catwoman picking up the whip.
Yep, so she'll be training with that other girl.
But I really felt like I said this season, I'm seeing characters the way I would think they would be.
Yeah, well, and the fact that she fell out a window and was mobbed by cats, like in...
Yes,
Batman Returns.
I thought that was great. Like, stuff like that, I just enjoy. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of stuff from Batman people in there.
Because that was one of my problems with this, the show when it first aired, which I thought it was a bit of a train wreck, was it seemed to be, like, what version of Gotham is this? Is it the Gotham of, it seems to be the Gotham of the Tim Burton.
It is. I think so.
But with some elements from other versions thrown in.
Right.
And a little bit of the TV show.
Yes.
Thrown in as well.
Yes, I'm with you 100%.
So, anyway, I'm happy to see it's progressing. It's an interesting show, and I'm curious to see where it'll go. In fact, I'm starting to like it more than some of the other DC Universe shows, which I thought kind of meandered a bit this year.
Arrow, were you referring to?
Now, Arrow was okay. Oh. I found, like, Flash is the one that kind of lost me. And I was the one I liked the most.
I still love Flash the most. Flash is still my favorite.
I still have maybe 4 or 5 episodes to watch. I haven't finished that series.
Oh, I'm finished. I'm, well, totally 100% caught up on Arrow, Flash, and Supergirl.
And DC Legends of Tomorrow,
seen it. Didn't watch it.
It's like they throw every character into the kitchen sink in it.
Did you watch Supergirl?
No, I still have to, I watched the Supergirl crossover with Flash up to the nightclub one, and then I haven't seen any of the episodes subsequently.
Okay, well, when you finish, I want to ask you some questions. So,
but I did think that the Supergirl-Superman team-up episode that started the year was great.
Yeah.
Supergirl
came along really good this year. I thought it had some dull parts, but I thought it was pretty solid. My daughter loves it.
I don't like the fact that she's in her own dimension and not on the same planet as the other characters. I think that's kind of dumb.
So do I, but it works for the show. It actually does. Because I think they don't want to have them interfering in the Arrowverse or Flash, and they just kind of keep it separate for that reason.
Well, why wouldn't you call Super? You call in Supergirl every time if you had
Superman. Exactly. That's why they don't do it. So I accept that. So what are you looking forward to next on your list? Now you see Mummy. What's next? Transformers?
I still need to see Pirates.
I have seen Pirates. I'm waiting for you to see it.
I want to see that. Baby Driver.
I can't wait for Baby Driver, even though it didn't make my top 10 list, and I'm probably mad at myself.
I didn't even know it existed, and then I saw a trailer. Like, I will put that on my list in a second. But somehow I missed it when we were assembling our lists.
Oh, I didn't miss it. I knew it was coming. I just, like, Edward Wright doesn't do well with movies. I love them, but they don't do well.
I don't think... Maybe the star of this movie will be fantastic, but he doesn't interest me. The movie, it does interest me because of who's directed it and who's in it, but the star doesn't strike me as that interesting.
Oh, I haven't even seen the preview, so I don't even know what it's about other than a driver.
So, Baby, his name is Baby.
Oh, okay.
He has tinnitus. And so he has a constant ringing in his ear, except when he puts his headphones on and he listens to music when he drives. And he is a getaway car driver.
That I did know.
Robert, right? So the Kevin Spacey is the head. And these other guys, like the guy that plays the Punisher and Jon Hamm, and they're all part of the team.
Okay. Jon Hamm, okay. There we go.
So he meets this young waitress and falls in love with her, and he wants to get out, but they don't want to let him get out because he's still the driver.
Got it. Okay.
Right? So some of the characters, like Jon Hamm, is particularly psychotic from what I understand.
Well, we'll have to see. Yeah, I knew all about Baby Driver, just didn't make my list.
Spider-Man is high on my list of movies coming up.
Spider-Man after Transformers?
I don't want to see Transformers.
I know, but I meant, what's this weekend's Transformers?
Is it this weekend's Transformers?
Yeah, I think it's Transformers next.
And then Despicable Me?
And then, yeah, my number one choice is coming out to make $1 billion.
And then Cars 3 is somewhere along there, too.
I can't sit through another Cars movie. Unless this film gets great reviews, I can't go. I'm breaking my Pixar streak. I've seen every Pixar movie in theaters. And I'm breaking it on Cars 3 because I hate the last one so much.
I I just saw a trailer for another Pixar movie that's coming out in the fall.
Oh, that new one. I saw the pictures for it.
Coco?
That's it. I'm like, I was like, Cuckoo. Yeah. I'm like, that's not right.
Oh, did you guys see those? Yeah, I guess you don't see trailers. There's a trailer for Black Panther.
Bob?
I haven't seen it yet.
I've seen it. It's on my Facebook popping up like crazy, and I just keep avoiding it. Not going to touch it.
Bad news yesterday.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Well, the world, we lost Adam West.
I know, and I have met him, and I have almost complete cast photos of everybody in Batman. That upset me.
Mm-hmm.
That was my childhood.
Yeah, mine too.
And I've still watched that. My kids have watched that show with me because I just love it.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Oh, we lost one. We lost Cliff Robinson's wife the other week, too, about a couple weeks ago, and she was on the series, too. We're losing a ton of them now. They're all in their 80s, though. Like, late 80s, early 90s, if they're still alive.
Well, exactly. I mean, Adam was 88.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry the guy died, but he's almost 90 years old. We're not expected to live that long.
No, Stan Lee's 95.
Yeah, so if you hit your 90s every day, I think it's a blessing in some way. But keep going. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Adam West hurt me.
Yeah, that was a surprise. Considering I still see him fairly regularly, and he seems
Yeah, you probably would.
He looked to be in good shape, and was, but I guess he contracted leukemia. And, you know, there's a version of leukemia you get when you're in your 90s, which is just, it hits you, and then it just takes you out.
Yeah, you probably saw him all the time on the convention circuit.
I saw him, last time I saw him was in April at that Dallas show.
And he was doing fine then.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's recorded the voices for the new DC animated with Two-Face.
From what I understand, he has.
Okay.
With Shatner as Two-Face.
Yeah, so that'll be the end of those, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he recorded the two at the same time, from what I understand.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that.
Although I got to tell you, I watched that one yesterday in homage. The Return of the Caped Crusaders, and I love it. I still love that movie.
It's got some interesting scenes in it.
It's got some great dialogue in it.
It does. I will give you that. Okay, Cap, thank you for your time.
Hey, well, one question. Did you buy anything?
Yeah.
I bought, oh, God. Quick story. I went garage selling.
Yes.
I bought 50 DVDs for $25.
Oh, God.
Everything pre-1970.
Oh, boy.
Ugh. Well,
all Old West. I found the original 310 to Yuma. Everything I see, I found a Criterion collection for you.
Yeah, what'd you find?
I can't remember. I got a box. You want me? You don't want me to go get it. It's huge. It takes 10 minutes to read all the titles.
Right.
But everything's pre-1970.
Okay.
So I'll be working my way through those. So what'd you buy, Bob?
I bought two movies. I can't think of the other one, but I bought Moana. I can't wait. I was waiting for it to go down in price, but I thought, nope, I'm not waiting any longer. I'll just buy it now.
You bought marijuana?
Marijuana?
Moana.
Moana.
Bob's on the medical marijuana bus.
Yeah.
And there was another one I bought. I can't remember what it was, but.
It was that good.
Yeah, it was that good.
Kev, did you buy anything?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I did.
Why?
That's not like you.
At our last time, I don't know if I had bought the Mummy set the last time.
You had?
Then, yeah, absolutely nothing since the last time.
Wow, it's so unlike you, Kevin.
I have not even bought Logan.
Oh, you haven't watched 4K in black and white?
No.
I haven't seen Logan yet.
I've been a little busy.
Bob has not seen Logan yet.
That shouldn't be a surprise to either.
He
dies at the end.
Well, thank you. I knew that.
Then that's all you need to know.
And the girl becomes the girl becomes the next Wolverine.
Maybe.
Wow.
I don't know.
Or she.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
I'm Simon.
Intern forevermore.
And if they make it.
Simon forces a movie down my throat each weekend, even though I won't watch it each weekend.
To contact us, please email.